Morning. Welcome to Frigid Baptist Church. Is that that's FBC, isn't it? Frigid Baptist Church. I'm just thinking. Of course, I could be in trouble thinking. That's what my wife says. Some of the things you're going to hear today, I know you've heard in the past. Pay attention. Some things we can look at in a new light. We can learn from, regardless of how we've heard them in the past. Is that right, Joe Frazier? You better say yes. I saw you looking over there, so I just wanted to make sure I had your attention. So that's what I do that once in a while. If I see you looking somewhere else, Jerry, Tom Powell, I'm just kidding. Anyway, I woke up this morning and walked outside and ouch, took the dogs out and I'm thinking, dogs aren't going to stay out very long in this, and I certainly am not. So at my house, it was 4 degrees. I don't know what it was like at your house, but I guess tonight it's going to go to 0 degrees or below. Matthew, you might want to come up just a few pews. I'm going to use Matthew in a little while. Matthew's going to be a visual illustration today. So come on up, Matthew. Just come on up a few pews. And while he's coming, you stand with me, and we're going to read the scripture. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, I'm going to begin in verse 4. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the 8th day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word again today. Lord, I pray that we will be obedient, that we would hear it, that we would apply it to our lives. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would have freedom to move in this place and in our lives. We thank you for not only what you've done, but for what you are doing and for what you're going to do in our lives. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. All right, New Year's Eve day, is that right? How many of you have already made a resolution? Anybody? How many of you are thinking you're going to break that resolution on the second? Now, I know that some of you think that I'm going to be able to keep this and because I have strong enough willpower. I've made resolutions before, and I'm telling you I don't make them anymore. I just try to determine that I'm going to make some lifestyle changes. I want to talk about taking inventory today. When's the last time you took an inventory of your life? When's the last time you were able to sit down and evaluate your last year or your last month to see where you are in your relationship with God or where you've been in your relationship with God and using that to think, this is where I need to go? I don't know about you, but I've been in stores lately and I see all these people running around. They've got these tablets in their hands. Have you seen them? Sometimes they're blocking the aisles, and you have to, would you please move? But anyway, you see them looking on the shelves and counting things, and so what they're doing is taking inventory. They're making a list to make sure that what's on the shelves coincides with what they have on their books. Let me ask you this. Does your spiritual life coincide with what you think it is? we need to take inventory of our lives. Joe Frazier, hear me say this morning. Our church needs to take inventory of what is on hand, so that if some catastrophe hits the church, we know exactly what is in the building. So when the insurance company says, this is what you have, what did you have, we can say this is what it was. You know, in conjunction with that, I've been taking inventory of my library for years, going in and naming each book and all those things. But you know what? Oops. I haven't gotten that done yet. I've been intending to do that. I've made resolutions to do that. But I just haven't gotten it done yet. I guess maybe it's not important enough. We need to take inventory. It's always a good thing to take inventory of your life, to see where you've been, to see where you are, and to see where you are planning to go. And in doing that, we need to learn from the past. How many of you ever think about the past? Anybody? I think about the past every once in a while. I think about lessons I learned from my mother. I think about how things were growing up. I think about some of the things that have not been good for me or didn't seem to be good at the time, some of the struggles I've had, some of the struggles that not only did I cause, but some of the hurts that I've endured. Struggles have a purpose. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, it says this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. You know, verse 10 is one of those things, we want part of it, but we don't want the other part. The part we want is that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That's the part you and I want, isn't it? That we have the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ to help us live and overcome any situation that comes into our lives. How many? We all want that. That we would experience the power of God in our lives. Here's the part we may not want. And may share his sufferings. May share his sufferings. How many of you want to suffer? How many of you want to suffer for Christ? You know, I'm not sure that I want to be on that list. I kind of like living so that there is no suffering. But suffering also produces Christ in us. In Romans 8:28, it says, God uses all things that work together for our good to those that he called according to his purpose. He takes all these things, all our joys, all our victories, all our sufferings, everything that happens to us, and he packages them and causes it to work out for our good. And we may not see the good coming, but trust me, if you look back, you see it. That I may know him. Let me ask you, and this can be a personal question. It started with me when I was thinking about this. Have I grown in difficult times, or have I shut down? I think that's a valid question, don't you? Have I grown through difficult times, or have I shut down? I can tell you sometimes when things that aren't pleasant happen to me, I just push it away. You know, sometimes I don't want anybody around me. I just shut it down. And instead of reaching out to somebody who might be able to help me get through it, I neglect it and I shut it down. So let me ask you again. Have you grown in difficult times, or have you just shut it down? Let me ask you a question again. Over this past year, this past month, this past 6 months, have I progressed in my spiritual life? Am I farther along with God in my relationship with him now than I was 6 months ago, or a year ago, or even 5 or 10 years ago? Because the fact is, some people have remained in the same state of Christianity from day one or year one of their existence to right now. When I was first starting to preach different places, and I was in school, and I'd be invited to different places in the state to preach, and I would drive there, and I wondered what I was going to say to people who might be saved 40 years or 50 years or longer. And I said, God, I don't know what I'm going to say to them. They've probably heard it all before. But what I found out is some people have been a Christian for 40 years and they're 1 year old in the Lord. There's been no real spiritual growth. So let me ask you again, did you grow in your spiritual relationship with God this year? Are you further along now than you have been? Think that's a legitimate question? It needs to be. And if you can't answer that, or if I can't answer that in a positive way, we are in trouble in our spiritual lives. We need to be continually growing into the image of Christ. Let me give you some encouragement this morning, though. No matter what's happened in your past, you don't have to live there. You don't have to let your past dominate your thinking or determine your present or your future. It's in the past. Paul says, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward, I press on. That doesn't mean you don't learn from what's happened in the past. We learn from what's happened. We better learn from what's happened, or we will repeat the same things over and over again. Somebody, some wise man, Mark Twain, somebody, said if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. And you've heard that. I know that's not correct English, but at the same time, it's absolutely true. Forgetting and reaching forward. We need to live in the present. We need to learn from the past, live in the present. And in a few minutes, I'm going to ask Matthew to come up here. And Matthew's going to do some things that you may not see. And if you can't see where you are, move up. It's okay. I know some of you are dead set Baptists. Some of you dead set Baptists have moved up over here, and I appreciate that. Others are still in the back row. And Cheryl stood up, and she just looked back there. I can tell you one time, Jerry, and I don't know who else, maybe Danny helped him, but they came in with that yellow hazard tape stuff, you've seen it, and they blocked off several of the back rows so that we could force people to move closer. How do you think that went over? It didn't go over well at all, because this is my seat and I'm not moving and there's nothing you can do to make me move. And so I've often thought that if I'm ever here when we build a new church, we're going to put a conveyor belt in it. And if you're all in the back, up here, and you're going to keep coming forward until you come up here where the real people are. No, I'm just messing. Chapter 43. Begin in verse 18. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, and the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I form for myself, that they may declare my praise. God is interested in doing something new in your life and in mine. But the question is, we know he's willing to do that. We know he wants to do that. My question for us today is, are we going to let him do that? See, I think God wants us all to be involved in his church. What do you think? I think God wants us all to financially support his church. What do you think? So I guess the question is, are you willing to let him do that in your life? I know Jamie, the chairman of the finance committee, would really like to see some of us participate more in the giving. God wants to do a new thing in our lives. And so I've got this thing I'm going to share with you. You've all heard this before. If you've worked in business or any place else, you have heard this before. It's on our website. John, do you have our website up? I'm going to show you exactly where this is on our website. So John, put our website on. It's on this TV? All right, John, go all the way to the right and click on those little lines there. Have you done that? Scroll down to smart, and what do we have? Does it say smart? It says start. Are we got smart too? All right, sweet. So I'm going to talk about SMART goals. How many of you have already heard about SMART goals? Now, I talked about today in Sunday school class, and Natasha just, she put her head down on the table. And I said, why do you do that? She says, because I've heard them and I don't do them. Oh, hush. So I'm going to share this with you. SMART goals, the S stands for specific. We need to set specific goals. One, define the goal as much as possible with no unclear language. What is it that you want to accomplish in your life, and make it so that other people look at it, they understand exactly what you're saying. Who's involved? What do I want to accomplish? Where will it be done? Why am I doing this? What's the reason or purpose? And what's going to hold me back? Be specific. The M stands for measurable. Can you track the progress and measure the outcome? How much? How many? How will I know when my goal is accomplished? It needs to be not only specific but measurable. A is attainable or achievable. Is the goal reasonable enough to be accomplished? Make sure the goal is not out of reach or below standard performance. R, realistic. Is the goal worthwhile and will it meet your needs? Is each goal consistent with the other goals you have established and fits with your immediate and long-term plans? Time-related. Your objective should include a time limit. An example is, I will complete this step by this month, this day, this year. It will establish a sense of urgency and prompt you to have better time management. And that's one of those things that I've determined to do in my life this year. I've determined to work on my time management. If you ask me later how I'm doing, I'll probably say, well, I'm procrastinating, I haven't got around to it yet. And that can be a problem, isn't it? I mean, it can be a problem. I am from the time I was little, I've been a procrastinator, and I know that sometimes I change, sometimes I don't. If Deb wants me to have something on Friday, she tells me on Tuesday she wants me to have it then. And so when do you get it, Deb? On Friday. I can remember when I was a kid, and some of you can relate to this, I was baseball crazy. But I played basketball, I played football, and here's what I do. When I was on a team, I did not want to sit on the bench. If you're an athlete and you're content with sitting on a bench, go sell papers. Go do something else. And so I would do whatever it took to be able to get on the field. Whatever it took. In baseball, I talked to Jerry about this morning. I'd take a rubber ball, and I'd go to the garage, and I'd throw it against the garage, and I'd feel that coming off the garage. And sometimes I'd throw it and hit it in the stones before the garage, and it would take crazy bounces, and I would try to field that as it was coming off. I had this thing called a pitchback. It was a net with spring, and you could set it at different angles. And so I'd throw it there, and it'd pop up in the air, and I would catch those. So I was doing, I used the tee a lot when I was practicing hitting. I would do whatever it took to get better. Doesn't matter what it took, and I would do it over and over and over again. And I oftentimes had someone who was older who had done it before sit there with me or be there with me to help me. Because if we're going to be better, we need to have a mentor. And the thing is, I've heard people say that practice makes perfect. It does not. Don't ever believe that practice makes perfect. Here's the truth. Perfect practice makes perfect. You have to do it the right way or you'll never get any better. Does that make sense? And so anyway, Matthew said earlier this year he wanted to play basketball. Well, you know, I might want to play basketball, but saying I want to play basketball doesn't make me a basketball player. I have to do things to make me a better basketball player. So Matthew's going to come up here. And if you can't see, this is where you stand up or move up. So Matthew, come on up here. Matthew's really excited about this. Get the basketball. We can't do this without the ball. You see how eager he is today? He's incredible. Now, the truth is, Matthew, his right hand is dominant. Does that make sense? So dribble the ball for me, Matthew. Dribble with your right hand. We practiced this before you came. Now, here's the deal. Matthew can dribble with his right hand and look up. Isn't that right? He doesn't have to look down. Dribble with your left hand. Now, where's he looking? He's looking down. Now, here's the truth. Give me the ball. If you have to dribble looking down, you need to be up here so you can see where other people are. If you have to dribble looking down, you'll never accomplish anything. Does that make sense? All right. Now, here's the thing. It's true of anybody that plays basketball. I used to coach middle school. And the thing is, when I coached middle school, my job was to get people to play, fundamentally ready to play on the varsity team. Does that make sense? And so I can teach you how to dribble. I can teach you how to pass. I can teach you how to shoot. I can teach you how to do the things you need to do to play basketball. And so until Matthew gets the idea that he can dribble with his left hand. Let's say I'm playing defense, and you know this to be true. If you can dribble with your right hand, go ahead and dribble. If I'm defending him, I take that right hand away. That way, if he has to go left, he can't do it. Does that make sense? I'm having fun. How about you, Matthew? Y'all understand what I'm saying? You have specific goals. I want to be a basketball player, and I'm going to learn what I need to know to play basketball. Something else that you have to be able to do is shoot the basketball. When I was in middle school, I couldn't shoot any. Played great defense, but I couldn't shoot the basketball. And before we went on summer break, our coach got us together and said, this is the proper way to shoot the basketball. Have your elbow in, take your hand up straight, and flip your wrist. When I was teaching that, I taught the kids, just like you're taking a cookie off the top of the refrigerator. Or another way is you're waving bye-bye to people after you score. Does that make sense? And so here's the drill. Lay down, Matthew. This is where you have to move up here. Wait, you move over here so people can see, or at least people over here. The rest of it, you might not be able to see this. Lay down. And so here's a dribble. I mean, here's a drill that Matthew can use to help him get better shooting the basketball. Lay down. Did we practice this before? Yes. Here. So the idea is Matthew lays on the ground and he shoots the ball just like he would. And if he does it the right way, the ball will go straight up in the air and come right back down and he can catch it. Go. Not quite so much. See, and when he does that, when the ball goes forward, he's pushing the ball a little bit. Now, why is it that he has to do the release this way? If you play basketball, they have this thing called a shooter's roll or shooter's bounce. If you get the right spin on the basketball, even if you don't put it through the net the first time, it'll hang around the rim a lot of times and go in the basket. So you have to learn to do it the right way. Does that make sense? Thanks, Matthew. Oh, wait a minute, we're not done yet. No, we're not going to do that. Please don't hit that tree. All right, stand up, Matthew. Look at me. I want you to get ready to play defense. Get ready to play. Yeah, stand up, Matthew. You can't play defense standing straight up. And so you're ready, right? And so when you play defense, how do you have to do this? How do you play? If I move this way, how do you play? No, you don't cross your feet. You shuffle your feet. Is that right? If you cross your feet, you're going to fall down. I'll go right past you. Does that make sense? So you shuffle your feet and you move them. That, see, you can learn these things. They're not hard. And when you learn these things, you can play basketball. Trust me on this one. So Matthew gets better. And the next year, he's not sitting on the end of the bench. Next year, Matthew's in the game. Okay? Thanks, Matthew. You did a great job. See, you can apply this to anything, even in the church. You believe that God's called you to be a Sunday school teacher. You've never taught Sunday school before. So what you do is you walk back that hallway and you see the Sunday school teachers and you ask one of them if you can spend time in their classroom. Attach yourself to a Sunday school teacher. And then you watch them teach that class. Your specific goal is, I want to teach Sunday school. But you're going to do it in a way that you're going to learn how to do it. You attach yourself to someone. And that person, you watch that person teach. And as that person teaches, you learn some things. And then after a while, ask that teacher to let you teach that class and to evaluate how you're doing. And here's the part we don't like. We like to hear the things that we do well. We don't like to hear so much the things we're not doing well. But we learn the most by hearing those things we do not do well. And so it might be that after doing that, you decide, I don't want to be a Sunday school teacher anymore. Maybe I want to be the head of the children's program. How's that work out, Barb? Barb did that for about 20 years. She might have been in 15 worship services in all that time. Just thinking. But you can apply that to every area of your life, can't you? Specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, time-related. You see, Matthew wants to be a better basketball player. And so he has from now until next year, when basketball tryouts, to be a better basketball player. Is that right? You can even improve now, between now and the end of the year. But you have to determine that you're going to be willing to do whatever it takes to get there. And if you're not, don't go out. When I coached, I gave every player a postcard, several postcards. And what I wanted them to do was shoot 500 free throws, 500 foul shots during the summer, and let me know how they were doing. Does that make sense? I wanted to see how they were progressing, if they were getting any better, and if they weren't, then we had some things to work on. We can do this together. We can, if we will, exercise these SMART goals, use them not only in the church, but in our personal lives. I want to know God better. Doesn't everybody in here? How are we going to do it? How are we going to do it? Who are we going to find to help us? Find someone that you think or you believe or you know to be just a little more spiritual than where you are. Someone who knows the Word of God, and find them and attach yourself to them. Make yourself accountable to them. And over a period of time, we will begin to grow in the Lord. It's all a matter of want to. I want to know the Lord better in 6 weeks. And so you're progressing every day. Does that make sense? You are no longer living in the past. You are now living in the future, living in the present, looking to a future when you're going to be more in tune with what God has. That just makes sense to me. There are some things I really need to work on, and I really need to find a mentor to help me get these through these things. I'm going to find someone who is really good at time management. If you're good at that, let me know. Because that's one area of my life where I need to get better. Can we do this? What are some specific goals for the church? How are we going to get there? And the only way that we might know is if you hear from God and you share what those ways are. What is it that you believe that God wants us to do as a church specifically? How is it that you think we can get there? Can we measure it? Is it achievable? Can we really do it? Is it realistic? It's not some pie in the sky by and by thing. Is it realistic, and is it time related? Just makes sense. Here's something else I want to share with you this morning. E plus R equals O. E plus R equals O. The event plus your response equals the outcome. That'll help you live this year. The event plus your response equals the outcome. Does that make sense? Here's something that happens. How do I respond to it? Jamie Barker comes into my office and says, Tom, you are nuts. You're really blowing it. You're killing me over here. Now, how do I respond to that? You out. There's an outcome, isn't it? Somebody ever come to you that way and you shut them down? Listen, I don't care what the criticism is. What we need to do is look for the truth. There's truth in everything. So you filter the truth. And how you respond to that, to Jamie, how I respond to Jamie coming into my office equals the outcome. We can grow in our relationship with God, or I can push him aside and say, we're done. If I say to him, we're done, what happens? We begin to crumble. Not in our relationship, but as a church. The event plus our response equals the outcome. Remember that. It will make a difference in your life this year. That's something I learned from listening to Urban Meyer. Now, I know that he wasn't the one who initiated it. He has a guy come and talk to a football team on a regular basis to encourage them and to help them grow. And somebody, one of the people that came to him or came to the team, taught that principle. The event plus your response equals the outcome. SMART goals. E plus R equals O. Now, I guess the question is, where do we want to go with all this? Looking ahead, how am I going to use my past and my present to get where we need to go? I look at my past, Paul says, forget it, but I look at my past, time management, not my strength, Jerry. It's not my strength. But in the present, you find someone to help you get through that. You find a mentor. You find someone who will help you and hold you accountable. And when they hold you accountable, then you have to have the discipline to do what you need to do. You need a coach, a mentor, someone who is really good at time management. And I know a couple guys, my only problem is, will I go to them? Because sometimes you go, and they're not really eager. What are you going to say, Barb? Then you have to do it. Well, you make yourself accountable. And then you have to have the discipline to do that. So can we do this? We don't have to, we can't live in the past. We can learn from the past. And we need to live in the future, individually as a church, not only here, but in our own lives. What am I going to do this year to be a better husband? What am I going to do this year to be a better father? What am I going to do this year to be a better friend? Those things work in every area of our lives, not just in playing basketball, Matthew. What are you going to do to be a better son, better brother? See, those are things that every one of us have to answer. And we can accomplish those things through the power of God, through the Holy Spirit. Learn, live, and look. Makes sense to me as we approach the new year. We look back, and as soon as we look back and take inventory, we learn from that and we move on. We put that away. We live in the present. And as we live in the present, we look to the future. Woohoo! So, if I ask you today, take that slide down, John. No, not really. What are the three things you need to take away from this lesson, this sermon today? Hey, great job, Ilaria. Great job. Thank you, Bella. So we need to learn to live and to look, and each one of us can do those things. So three things, several things to take away. One, you can find the SMART goals on website. You don't need to take that away. You can just go find them yourself. One is live, or learn, live, and look. The other is E plus R. The event plus your response equals what? The outcome. We can do that, can't we?
Yeah.
We're on our way, Bella. We're on our way. I love when kids talk to me. We have Ilaria back there and Bella right here. And of all the kids in here, you would expect those two to talk to me. Well, anyway, let's pray. And then as I'm praying, I'll have the elders come forward and we'll celebrate the Lord's table. Father, thank you today for Paul's example. He forgot what was behind and he pressed on.